I'm going to start with the good news. Missouri's economy is moving forward. The unemployment rate is at its lowest point in 3 years. Governor Nixon and the legislature have worked together each year to balance the budget without raising taxes. Because of this fiscal discipline, Missouri is one of only a few states that has a AAA rating from all three bond rating agencies. That high rating saves taxpayer dollars and allows us to focus savings on high priority programs. I will explain some additional savings in just a few minutes that we're going to be able to achieve because of that AAA rating from all three rating agencies. Because the economy is expected to continue to grow and the pace of that improvement is expected to accelerate, the consensus revenue forecast for fiscal year 2013 assumes a growth rate of 3.9%. That consensus forecast is developed jointly by the House, the Senate, and the governor. So that's a 3.9% expected increase in our income. That growth rate would generate $285 million in increased general revenue collections and bring our net general revenue collections to $7.59 billion. So that is good news, expected continued growth. Despite that, though, fiscal year 2013 is going to be a challenging budget year. There are one-time revenue sources. I've talked about this with a lot of you. One-time revenue sources supporting the current fiscal year budget, fiscal year 2012, and those one-time sources will no longer be available in fiscal year 2013. We also have a reduction in our federal match rate for the Medicaid program, and that is going to create a gap for us in fiscal year 2013 as well. When you combine all of those things together, the one-time revenue sources going away, the increased revenue from our own general revenue collections, that change in the Medicaid match rate, you end up with a gap of about $500 million. That $500 million is the gap that we need to fill in order to balance the budget. I'm going to go over the details of that in just a minute, so I'll come back to that. But I do want to go through in your packet, if you will look at the bottom, there are some high-priority programs that the governor is recommending increases or stable funding for. So I'm going to briefly go through those first, and then I'll back up to how we filled the gap. The governor is recommending a $5 million increase for the foundation formula. That would be its highest level ever, so a $5 million increase for the K-12 foundation formula. That's the main source of state income for our K-12 schools. Because of the one-time money that I mentioned previously, that $5 million increase in funding for the formula actually requires us to put $203 million more general revenue into the foundation formula in fiscal year 13. So it's a $203 million general revenue increase. $198 million of that is just needed to make up for the one-time sources, so a net increase of $5 million recommended for the foundation formula. Other priorities in the governor's budget recommendations for fiscal year 2013 are scholarship programs. The governor is recommending stable funding for all of our scholarship programs. That includes things like A-plus program, Access, and Bright Flight. Again, just like the formula, there are one-time revenues supporting those scholarships this year, and so that requires a $25 million increase in general revenue just to maintain stable funding for the scholarships. Governor's recommendations also include a $4 million funding for the new MOSIRA program. That's the science and technology program that was authorized by the legislature, and the governor signed that bill. So $4 million for MOSIRA. The governor is also recommending a 2% pay plan for state employees, so a COLA of 2% that would become effective on January 1, 2013, 2% increase. For the how did we fill the gaps, if you're looking at this one pager, it's in the middle of the page. So I'll be walking through the bullets that are about halfway down this first page. First, in the Medicaid program, we will be saving, based on these recommendations, $191.7 million, so just about $192 million in general revenue from where we would need to have been otherwise in the Medicaid program. So savings of $192 million in Medicaid. Those are really due to efforts that we started several years ago. We have been working on enhancing the efficiency in the Medicaid program since we came in January of 2009, and we've been working with the providers, with some consultants, and we've really done a good job of getting those costs to the Medicaid program down. Things like reduced provider payments, disease management, chronic care management, all of those are going to reduce the cost of our Medicaid program. Because of that reduction in the federal match rate that I mentioned previously, normally you would have seen a $170 million increase in our general revenue spending in the Medicaid program between that match rate plus normal growth in the Medicaid. Instead, you're actually going to see a reduction in general revenue funding for the Medicaid program of $22 million. So we saved $192 million in general revenue. Overall, the Medicaid budget, when you look at federal and other sources, grows by less than 1%. So an actual reduction in our general revenue funding for Medicaid, an overall growth rate in Medicaid of less than 1%. Some examples of some of those efficiencies that we are going to be counting on in our budget include things like reduced rates for managed care companies. We have been driving down the what we call the bottom of the rate range. We pay our capitated payments to managed care companies at a rate that must be certified by CMS as being actuarially sound. We have worked on several efficiency enhancements to really drive those rates down, and that's going to save us $37 million. So of the $192, $37 million comes from reduced rates to managed care companies. We'll also save $30 million through increased use of generic drugs. It's a $30 million general revenue savings. Our Medicaid staff have also been doing an excellent job of collecting pharmacy rebates from our pharmaceutical manufacturers. And that is a $52 million in increased rebates to offset general revenue. We're going to have $30 million in savings in the hospital program in Medicaid, $11 million in savings in our nursing home program in Medicaid. We also are working with our home and community-based providers to balance out our community care and our long-term institutional care. That will save us an estimated $12 million in general revenue in our Medicaid program. Then we have another $20 million that is across all of the different services in Medicaid, an additional $20 million savings from various things such as increase fraud and abuse prevention. So we're doing a better job of preventing fraud and abuse. We're doing a better job of managing chronic care. We're doing a better job of disease management. All of those things combined are roughly a $20 million savings in our GR need in the Medicaid program. So that's the $192 million savings in Medicaid. The next item down, we will have a recommendation for a reduction of $89 million for the four-year institutions, the four-year colleges and universities, an $89 million reduction there. The next item down, we have $64 million, 64.3 in additional debt collections and other revenue enhancement. That's really a couple of things. The legislature included pretty wide bipartisan support for some revenue collection efficiencies, so we have that. It also includes some increased federal earnings, so all of those within that dollar amount. We are recommending the tax amnesty proposal. That, again, has broad support. So that will save us or generate $51.8 million to help fill that gap through tax amnesty. As I mentioned previously, we are refinancing our debt, and because of our AAA rating, we're going to be able to save $41 million from our debt payments. We have $29.3 million proposed in reductions on the administrative side. Those range from reductions in state employee positions, reductions in E&E spending, reduction in the cost of drugs in our mental health institutions, as well as we're seeing moderating cost for our employee fringe benefits. All of those things combined will save us $29.3 million. The two-year colleges, the community colleges plus Lynn Tech, the savings there of $16.9 million. We also are going to provide additional advertising money to lottery to generate additional lottery sales, and they have estimated that that will generate $15 million in additional lottery revenue that will support education. We have a $7 million reduction in biodiesel subsidy payments and a $2 million reduction in local public health agency grants. All of those things combined together total to about $508 million, and that is what we needed basically to fill that gap that I talked about earlier. So some proposals around protecting priority programs, an increase for the foundation formula, level funding for scholarships, and then all of those other things I went through would be how we would fill the gap. With that, I'm going to open it up for questions.
What's the percentage cut to higher ed?
12.5%.
And is that the same 4 years and 2 years?
That's correct.
Isn't it harder to say that the state's trying to support education if you're making sure the foundation formula has money for K through 12, but you're cutting out more money from higher education?
We really believe that focusing money for the classrooms K through 12 is a very high priority. So providing that $5 million increase was a very high priority for the governor. We think it's the right thing to do. It provides money for K through 12 classrooms. Now, as far as how we filled the gap, we've said this several times. The cuts, the additional cuts that we are needing to recommend are not things that we would recommend if revenue had picked up more quickly. So those are things that we need to do to fill that gap.
$115 million from additional debt collections and tax amnesty, is that dependent on legislation?
The only legislation that requires is the legislation that has broad bipartisan support in both the House and the Senate.
That failed in both the regular and special session last year?
Because of that broad support, we really do believe that the legislature can get that done. It makes a lot of sense. Tax amnesty and improving the efficiency of our collections efforts. So, yes, we're building that in.
Is Rudy right about the number, though, that 100?
No, not
how,
all
how
of that other one.
Is dependent on the legislature passing something?
It is the $51.8 million for tax amnesty, and then the revenue piece of that $64 million, the collection piece is about $13 million. So when you're looking at that $64, only about $13
million. $65 million depends on the legislature passing something.
Yeah, that's what those bullets are, correct, of that amount. So that is a proposal that has had bipartisan support on both ends of the building, both sides of the aisle.
People who work at our higher education institutions are responsible for training our young people for the jobs of tomorrow. What do you say to them who think that what you're doing is cutting their resources in order to provide pay raises to state employees?
We have made sure that the scholarship programs have stable funding. And it was the governor's highest priority to fund scholarships. We believe that being able to continue to provide stable funding for A-plus, Access, and Bright Flight is an extremely high priority. So that's where we focused.
Well, what about the employees of those colleges and universities who see that their institutions are going to be struggling to even and probably laying people off while the governor is going to be giving state employees a pay raise?
We also have a lot of administrative savings built into this budget. Our state employees have not had a pay increase since fiscal year 2009. We do believe that many of the universities and K through 12 schools also, and a lot of others, have been doing pay increases during that time. We believe it's time for our state employees to see a small increase, a 2% increase, and we believe that is perfectly reasonable.
So employees of state-owned and operated colleges are not considered state employees for this pay raise discussion?
That's correct. They're not state employees. They are university employees.
Last summer, the governor indicated a 2% pay raise proposal, but you're making it now not for the whole fiscal year that starts in July, but starting a year from now. Is that, if I'm a state employee, should I look at that as less of a raise than I thought I was getting?
I think you should look at it as it's more possible that we'll actually be able to include it in the budget. This is an extremely tight year, and the reason we went to January 1 is it was a little bit more affordable than doing the full 12 months. So we think that with that proposal and modest cost, that that is something that the legislature can support.
With your addition for the foundation program, how far are we behind in fully funding the increments of the foundation program now?
I don't know. We'd have to get that information from DESE.
Just on the surface, I don't see any layoffs or furloughs or any phasing out of any vacant spots. Is that still possible?
We have 816 fewer positions in this budget than in fiscal year 12. That is part of the $29.3 million that I talked about on the administrative reduction. So it's 816 positions. That will bring us to a total reduction since fiscal year 2009 of just over 4,100 positions.
How many of those are retirements and attrition?
We're hoping they're all attrition. Are some of those positions currently filled? Yes, they are. I don't think I'd use the word most. We knew that we were headed here, so we've been already planning for this. I would say the bulk of them we will be able to do through attrition.
Do we have specifically targeted areas where those jobs would come from, or are they scattered throughout?
They are scattered throughout, but there are a couple of areas that are specifically outlined. For example, there are in the Department of Social Services, there, and also if you all would look, there is an attachment that I'll point you to that has those FTE reductions by department. It's on page 4. So by department on page 4, you'll see the FTE reductions. Let me point out a couple of them that I believe are more significant. For example, this builds in MoDOT's plan, their 5-year plan. That's the 604. Office of Administration, we're reducing their FTE count by 82. So 82 fewer positions in the Office of Administration. Those are largely in the Information Technology Division. So that is a focused area where we are doing a reduction to your question. A couple of those other kind of more focused areas are in DED, their workforce development area. That is actually due to a federal cut. The federal government, as part of their budget reductions, are reducing funding for workforce development. And so we are needing to reduce that area in DED by 25 positions.
So those are real people that will be laid off?
Those are real people. We hope to be able to work with them to move folks around so we won't have to lay them off. We have done, over the last 3 years, a lot of downsizing of positions. And by starting early in January, we hope to have most of that done through attrition when these go into effect.
Since you specifically pointed out the governor's office budget, how many people is the governor's office losing?
The governor's office reduction, I believe, was 8, if I have the 8 positions.
And that will get them down to how many?
That will get them down to, somebody can look that up for me while we're talking.
Is that the entire saving in the governor's office budget?
There are two things that we're doing. The governor's office will take the same E&E reduction as we are having for all agencies. So we will reduce the same percentage on the governor's budget for the expense and equipment line as we are all state agencies. In addition to that, we're reducing another $50,000. We'll determine later exactly how we're going to do that $50,000.
Maybe you answer this, but is there a reduction in Medicaid provider reimbursement rates in this?
The managed care companies were going to the bottom of the rate range. It's not an actual reduction, but they're not getting an increase. And if you know the managed care world, typically you would see a 5% increase in those managed care rates. We're not doing that.
So
we're
no cut in physician reimbursement?
No.
No cut in hospital reimbursement?
Not anything beyond what we've already done. We have done a lot of reductions in the hospital.
No cut in the managed care that are dealing with metro areas?
Yes.
Medicaid reimbursement rates for the providers?
That is,
stand still.
That is determined by the managed care companies. We do not set the rates in the managed care areas of the state.
But they're at the same rate.
The managed care companies are.
Back in the Clinton administration, we took IT people from all the departments and put them all into OA. You just said we're not going to strip some of those people out of the OA IT department. We're going to have enough computer geeks around to take care of computers in state government?
Absolutely. We're focusing on an area where we believe we've had too many FTE in what we call the end user support. We do know that we're going to be able to do all of those reductions through attrition, so they are vacancies that are not currently filled. But yes, we believe that we can still fully support the agencies with that reduction.
Where are the 89 people in social services coming from?
There are a couple of areas in social services. There are 40 in income maintenance. There are 28 in the children's division, 18 in child support, and then the rest are kind of scattered all over.
What will be the impact on services?
We believe that all of these will be doable through attrition, so we believe that there will not be an impact on services. In particular, the child development proposal was a recommendation by the Foster Care Task Force to switch out some FTE, take those savings, and reinvest them in a pilot project to enhance our foster care homes. So that was a recommendation by the Foster Care Task Force.
Yeah. Given that Medicaid is one of the biggest items, single items in the budget, and if I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, but the federal rules don't require the state to keep the same reimbursement rate.
The federal rules on provider reimbursement rate is that they must be adequate in order to ensure access to services.
So why not reduce Medicaid reimbursement rates rather than just taking this out of the height of education?
We have done a really good job of reducing the cost in the Medicaid world. We have reduced payments for hospitals. We have reduced payments for physicians. We have reduced payments for managed care companies. So we've done it. With this proposal, we take another $192 million of general revenue out of the Medicaid program.
Well, you're making it all sound painless. Is there any fallout here? I mean, what will we not be doing that we used to be doing, or what might suffer?
Well, just to be frank, I mean, some of those reductions that we're doing, we've been clear we wouldn't be doing them if we had more revenue available. If the economy would have turned around faster, we would not be recommending that reduction for higher education. And there are things, quite frankly, in the managed care world where we would have liked to have been able to keep provider rates a little bit higher. So those are things that we're having to do because there's not enough revenue. The reductions in staff are never easy. Are we hoping that those are all done through vacancies by the time we get to it? Yes. We prefer to avoid layoffs whenever possible.
I think we'll be able to avoid any withholds this coming year.
With this proposal, this budget is balanced, and as long as, and this is, you all know this, as long as we hit that consensus revenue estimate, we should be balanced and we should be able to move forward. It really depends on whether or not revenue starts to rebound like we are proposing it will.
But the $150 million that the governor's withheld for the natural disaster, the Joplin stuff, of which, what is it, $15 million has only been spent. Where does this budget, I meant to look at this, but where does that money all roll into next fiscal year, or are you counting on it all being spent, and then if so, on what?
Yes, we have, and I think it's actually on one of the pages that I have in the packet, I believe. Yes, on page 3, under the obligations, we are setting aside $72 million in fiscal year 2012 and $31 million in fiscal year 13 for our disaster recovery effort, so right around $100 million. That is the expenses that we have seen so far are direct costs to the state. They're costs for National Guard. When the governor calls up the National Guard to respond to a disaster, we have to pay them for that. And so that is one of the costs that we've already seen. We've already seen costs for SEMA, for example. When SEMA goes out and works with the communities on helping them recover from disasters, they have direct costs that we see almost immediately. What we have not seen yet, but will, are the things that FEMA is paying for up front, and we will have to reimburse them. Those things will come later when FEMA requests that we reimburse them. Based on their schedule, those requests should come in the spring sometime. So they should happen in the current fiscal year, based on what we believe.
There's about a $60 million unspent cash balance that you guys are projecting out of this current fiscal year.
I don't know if that is that number about right, Judy. What have we spent? That's about right, correct. And most of that will be FEMA asking us to pay them, helping the local schools meet their share of the costs, reimbursing the local governments for their share of the cost. And all of those things come in a little bit later, but we are making sure we have money set aside so that the state can meet those obligations.
Last time we talked, you were concerned because our increase in income was going the wrong direction. So, number one, do you anticipate any withholds yet to come in this fiscal year? And second, what does that do to any carryover funds to help prop up next fiscal year's budget?
We don't have carryover funds for next year's budget. We do believe that we will meet that estimate for the current year. Do I have concerns? Sure. We're not at the 2.7% yet this year, which is what the revenue estimate is. We have all projected that the turnaround is going to happen. We just haven't quite seen it yet. So we're still comfortable with the current projection, but obviously we'll monitor it every month. We are not expecting to have to do any additional restrictions this year.
You may have said this already, but the withhold is still withheld?
That's correct. At this time. Now, we've released some. If we have an opportunity to release more, we will.
On the biodiesel and the public health grant?
Mm-hmm.
Is there still funding there, or is that zeroing those two programs out?
It brings biodiesel down to $4.9 million, and it brings the local public health agency grants down to $5.7 million.
What are those grants for?
We basically give grants to the local public health agencies, which just about every county has a local public health agency, and it is to do a lot of different things. It is around surveillance. It is around some of the food safety issues, things like that. I will say the local public health agencies, the state support is a fairly minor percentage of their overall revenue. So even though it's a $2 million reduction in state support, they do have a lot of local revenue that will help sustain them.
So with Virginia's question, then, you wouldn't anticipate any big cut in services of the local agencies because they're not relying on this money for major parts of their operation?
That's correct. The biggest bulk of their revenue comes from other sources than the state.
How important would tax credit reform be in next year's budget if the legislature actually does something this year?
The benefit of tax credit reform is delayed. So if the legislature did something around tax credit reform this year, the impact in fiscal year 13 would be minor. We do not assume any savings from tax credit reform in this budget. The governor still supports it, but we did not count on it in this budget.
Senator Crowell introduced a bill today that would eliminate the credit for renters on from the homestead credit. Would that have an immediate impact?
That particular tax credit is different. It is an immediate one within the immediate fiscal year. So that is one of those oddities that, yes, that would save roughly half of that program in the first year.
I double-checked something on school funding. I guess a $5 million increase in basic aid, but the budget book makes it look like transportation, the categorical, would be cut from 107 down to 99.
The 99 is what we're planning on giving them this year after the restrictions. So we're basically level funding at what we're planning on spending in the current year.
Okay.
Linda.
Can I clarify why I was saying before? You also mentioned that the pay raise for state employees is 2%. Did I hear you right that that doesn't kick in July 1st?
Correct. January 1st of 2013. And we did that because we think it will be more affordable given this very challenging budget year.
Okay.
Linda, from what you've described, it sounds like a lot of these changes are kind of tinkering. We're going to set the rates for Medicaid managed care at the lowest possible. We're going to take employees off the payroll, most of whom are going to be lost through attrition. The real pain here is for higher education. Why is higher education the focus of these major cuts and no other agency?
We have made significant changes in our Medicaid program over the last couple of years. We have saved hundreds of millions of dollars. There has been painful decisions there. We've had to reduce provider rates and do other things within the Medicaid program. The downsizing of the staff by 4,100 positions since 2009 has been challenging. We needed to do it. We didn't have the money to continue the staff at the level it was before, but almost 4,200 positions are gone from this budget from fiscal year 2009. There are a lot of difficult choices in this budget. But the governor made those choices. We think this is a good recommendation.
Is the theory that higher education can get more money from other places, including tuition increases?
No. Quite frankly, it is we don't have the money. We looked at everywhere we could. If there was a little bit more money, this reduction in higher ed would be lower. But we don't have that. We had to present a balanced budget, and so this is where we are.
So what guidance are you giving the institutions on how to deal with the 12.5% of cuts?
We really want them to continue focus on efficiencies, just as the state has done. We have reduced our FTE. We've reduced administrative overhead. We know that's not going to get them all the way, but that's where we would like them to focus as much as possible.
Why not reduce Medicaid provider reimbursement rates?
We have reduced provider reimbursement rates in the Medicaid program. This year is not the first year of these reductions. We have reduced provider rates pretty much across the board. And we believe we are at the lowest rate we can be and still have an efficient, effective Medicaid program for our clients.
Have we lost very many providers because of the reduction?
I don't know.
There have been some who have argued that if you cut any further, you're going to have enough physicians, health care providers drop out, and Medicaid doesn't work. Is that a concern that you're at that basement level?
It is in some areas, definitely on the physician side. We're below where we'd like to be. We'd like to be closer to 100% of the Medicare rate. We're not. We believe that with what we're doing in the fiscal year 2013 budget, we have an extremely efficient program for our Medicaid. We've done a lot of changes, and because people are not yelling does not mean that these have not been challenging. They have been, but we've laid the groundwork for 3 years now. And so we've got these proposals to continue to squeeze down on the state cost of the Medicaid program.
Has your office been warned that any deeper cuts in provider rates will lead to a drop-off in providers being part of the Medicaid?
There have been. You always hear that. I don't know that there's any study to prove it one way or the other, but you do hear that.
How are you achieving the nursing home savings?
We actually have an initiative with the nursing homes. This is something that other states have done. It's, and I'm going to go into Medicaid terminology here, and I apologize. It's an upper payment limit where we will work with the public and private nursing homes to earn additional federal earnings on our nursing home project, and that's going to generate that $11 million.
We keep cutting bodies or positions. Are we getting closer to a point where the state will not be able to provide services the taxpayers expect it to provide?
It's a good question. We think that we have targeted these cuts at just the right place. We're not doing across the board. We are not, for example, reducing any positions in probation and parole because we believe that that is a critical thing to continue. We are not going below the level that we need to in child development. We will still be able to maintain our accreditation. So our child development, our child welfare area, will still be accredited. And that means that we have adequate staff to serve the needs of those children. So is this tough? Are we asking state employees to do more? Absolutely. Do we think that we are jeopardizing any vital services? No, we do not.
What kind of tuition increases does the governor anticipate or expect the colleges and universities to have this year? Because remember last year, when the legislature found a little bit of money to add to it, the governor cut them back to his recommended level and then cut those that had exceeded what he thought was an appropriate tuition increase even more. Is that a possibility that these schools could see even deeper cuts than are indicated here if they increase tuition by more than what pleases the governor?
We have a balanced proposal here in front of the legislature now. We believe that passing this budget and assuming that revenue estimate happens, that we will be in balance and there won't be a need for additional reductions at that point in time.
Has the governor indicated to the colleges and universities what is an acceptable level of tuition increase this time?
No.
Is it a proportional cut for higher ed each institution?
It's 12.5% for each, yes. That's correct.
Is there any savings in this budget related to the working group report on corrections that the governor's office was involved in?
Actually, the first year, if you look at the detail of that report, there are no savings in the first year. So, no, we're not counting on them because, no, there weren't any in the first year.
Why not dip into, was there discussions about dipping into the rainy day fund? House Republicans have argued dip into that to pay for emergency relief. Why not?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. One, that money has to be repaid. So if we were to borrow, for example, in the current year, we'd have to start repaying it next year. And it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you have to repay that in 3 years to go there. We've got a balanced budget proposal without that, and we think this is the right way to go.
Is part of the concern with rainy day that you're having to use it for cash flow purposes?
You can actually manage it if you were going to do that. So, no, that's not really a concern. We do use that for cash flow purposes, and we need to make sure that there's adequate resources, but there are ways to manage having both of them.
And folks, it's just about 20 till, so we're going to need to take just one more question.
Going, gone.
Silence.
Thank you.
Very